Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to Psalm 64 tonight. Psalm 64. I'm going to read the entire psalm, and this is one of those psalms in which David pours out his heart to God and asks a series of requests. And as you read through this psalm, you find yourself identified with every one of the requests that he makes. And this particular psalm has been of such encouragement to me personally in the last few weeks as I've just read through it over and over again. And I want to read it tonight, and then we're going to look at some thoughts, and then we're going to go to prayer time tonight. We'll be remembering our teachers and staff here at Santa Rosa Christian School and the Learning Center, YAC program, and bringing them before the Lord. We're using the list that Dr. Watt gave to us. And we'll do that on the fourth Wednesday, if we have a fourth Wednesday. We normally do, but some months sometimes we don't have that. So we'll make that a time to pray for all of our staff at Santa Rosa Christian School and Gospel Projects. Beginning at verse 1 of Psalm 64. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Now, every time I read that, I stop right there. He's not asking for God to preserve him from his enemies. What is he asking for? The fear of his enemies. You know, enemies will always be there. And the battle that we have, the struggle that we have, is being afraid of the enemy. And so David says, Lord, would you preserve me from the fear of my enemy? Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. That's what they shoot. That's what's in their quiver. It's evil words, bitter words. That they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They consume of lying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. Then verse 7. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. Now, he doesn't play on words in the Hebrew what he said about the enemies. They shoot suddenly in verse 4. All right. They seek to destroy and they wound quickly. Well, the Lord's going to come and do that very same thing to them. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. Father in heaven, I pray that you just open our hearts and encourage us tonight as we consider some of the things that are shared here, the requests of David before thee, a leader in Israel at this time, king. And I pray that you might help us to understand that some of the very battles that David faced are many times battles we face. We have many enemies. We have Satan. We have those that have bent their bow against us with words that are evil, words that are bitter, to seek to cause us to fear and to quake before them. But Lord, we know that you're more powerful than they are. And you will shoot at them. And you will wound them suddenly. That's the promise that's given here to David. And I pray that you'd open our hearts to realize that we serve thee, the great creator, the sustainer, the one who has all power. May we encourage ourselves in that tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I just finished reading a book about General MacArthur and the strategic underground network of spies that he created in 1942 that served him for 3 years. Some of them lost their lives. Some of them were tracked down by the Japanese and killed. But a vast majority of them were so savvy and so ingratiated with the Philippine population that they were able to move about. One man who was white, who had been there before the war, he had made a good deal of money in Manila, and he had a suit that he wore for 3 years. That was the only article of clothing. It was tattered and worn after 3 years. He had a white hat, and he was just, everybody could see him coming, walking down the road. He had a network of spies around him everywhere he went. And he was able to go by Japanese squadrons. He was able to get through places that nobody else could get through because he was hiding in plain sight. But MacArthur assembled about 1,000 spies that were all through the Pacific Rim, Philippines, Australia, New Guinea, the whole region there that goes up toward Japan. He had them all over the place, and they were constantly reporting to him. Constantly reporting to him when he was in Australia. It was an amazing thing. We're talking about 1942. This is before cell phones, right? They had little radio transmitters that had been built in the United States and flown over there, and then they distributed them everywhere. They had a constant flow of them coming from the States. And they would, when they would get blown up or taken away, they had another one to take its spot. And as I read through that story, you read about the individuals who faced fear constantly. These spies that lived among the Japanese. Many of them were Filipino, many of them were Japanese Americans that knew the language and were embedded there, and they were acting as double agents for General MacArthur. But as I read the book, I mean, I was on the edge of my seat the entire time. I mean, this writer, he really spelled it out of the intense fear that these people went through on a daily basis, knowing that this could be their last day. And it tells some of the stories of those that lived out their final moments before being executed by the Japanese. And the overwhelming statement that kept coming back up, in spite of their fear, they continued to provide information to General MacArthur. In spite of their fear, taking the radio in hand, knowing that they're just a few hundred yards away from Japanese garrisons, they would pick it up and call in all the things that they were seeing and get it on record. And then they would close it up, cover up their thing, and then make their way and their getaway. And I've often wondered, how can people do that? Live in that kind of fear constantly. Well, sometimes you can overcome fear by your sheer will. But then there were those that knew the Lord Jesus Christ that were part of that network, that had come to Christ because of American missionaries in Manila and Quezon City. And many of them prayed constantly that God would shelter them and protect them. One Christian spy that was there told of one instance where he was laying in the underbrush on a beach, and the Japanese were there beside him all night long, didn't know he was there. He had to remain perfectly still. And the next day, they didn't leave till almost 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He had to lay there in perfect stillness all night long and most of the day. He said they finally walked away, and he said, I was crouched in the bushes with my hands crossed like this, praying the whole time that God would shield him and protect him. And the information that he was able to share with General MacArthur's staff would allow them to be able to plan the great invasion at Leyte Gulf that brought General MacArthur back to the Philippines. And where he could come back, he said, I have returned. And they were able to drive the Japanese out. Just amazing stories. He was a Christian spy. And God just sheltered him and protected him. He lived through the entire war. Now, I want you to know something. If people of the world can somehow live above fear, can we as believers who have an almighty God live above fear? This is a constant with all of us. There's many things to be fearful of. We have violence escalating all around us. We have an economy that's very, very shaky right now. We have got a country right now that's not taking seriously some of the great threats around the world. We've got leaders that are not taking seriously where we stand today as America in the world economy and so forth. We're just not taking things seriously. And we have a void. We have a void. Leadership voids show up very quickly. And we need to understand that instead of being afraid in these times, we need to ask God in verse 1, Lord, preserve my life from fear of the enemy. That's really our enemy. That's the point that David is making here. You know, there are lots of enemies out there, are there not? We've got Satan. We've got evil people that are in this world that hate Christians. You have national enemies, you've got statewide enemies, you've got local enemies, they're called politicians, in case you were wondering who I was talking about. But there's other people that would be dancing on the grave of Gospel Projects and Grace Bible Church if we just collapsed and fell away. They'd be so happy. Every once in a while, you'll find somebody that rejoices in what's going on up here, but there's a lot of people that would just be happy if we just went away. All right? We went away. We are heavily criticized because we do not do sports on Wednesdays and Sundays. I hear it all the time. We'd stay up there at Gospel Projects if you play games on the weekends and on Sunday. No, you go on and play at some other place. We're going to honor the Lord. It costs something to stand. In the culture of our day, though, many fear what people are saying, and as a result of that, they react to that and say, well, we've got to change. We've got to be different. Well, we got to do what they say or we're going to lose. No. Back it up. We need to say, God, preserve. That's an important word. Amen? What does preserve mean? Well, I grew up in a home where we canned food. And preserves was used a lot, that term, all right? We're canning. We're doing preserves. And my mom was forever canning. My picture growing up are these big cookers sitting on top of the stove. And she'd be canning tomatoes and beans and peas and stuff. And then we would take them when they cooled off and put them in the back room on the shelves that my dad had built. And we'd have that place loaded up. I rooted for green beans. That shelf was never as big as the pea shelf. I mean, when I looked at them, they looked like there was all black-eyed peas and purple hulls and everything like that. And I said, Lord, that's going to be a long winter, you know. Now, my brother, he loved them. So that's why he's bigger than I am today. You know, he ate a lot of those peas and stuff. And I probably wouldn't have gotten diabetes if I'd eaten my peas instead of smashing them up underneath the table like I did. But, where was I going with that? Preserving. Preserving. All right? We picked the beans. We shelled them. And then we took them. My mom cooked them down, and then she put them into the jars and then put the lids on them, put them in the pressure cooker, and then pulled them out and let them cool off. And you'd hear the pop, 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 pop of the lid sealing down as it created a vacuum. And we put those on the shelf. But we had to check every one of them. One of our jobs was checking to make sure that they had sealed properly. If they didn't, they were going to go bad. So those went to the refrigerator. We were going to have to eat those. Not very many of them, but sometimes it would happen. They would not be what? Preserved. Because they didn't seal. Now, I can compromise my beliefs so I think I will keep up with all the things that are going on, or I can cry out to God and say, Lord, preserve me from the fear that the enemy is creating in my heart and life. That's a whole different way of looking at life. Do I hear an amen? That's a whole different way of looking at life. I can be afraid and I can compromise my beliefs so I can still fit in with the world, or I can take the high road. And I can seek my Lord's face and say, Lord, preserve me from the fear. Now, fear is not an individual that walks around stalking you. It's a what? What is fear? It is an emotion mixed with the will in the human psyche, all right? You can be afraid. When we're at home playing with Preston and so we're like that, I'll go hide and seek with him. And he can't stand it. Pop goes hide, I go in the closet, and he's running around squealing, "Poppy, Poppy, where are you?" Because he knows I'm going to jump out and get him, you know? And he just can't take that. All right? I used to do that to my kids. And, you know, we had a lot of fun scaring them half to death. But I didn't hurt any of them. They didn't die because I killed them. No, I was just playing with them. It was the anticipation of Pop jumping out and getting them, right? Well, that's fear. This word in the Hebrew is the idea of dread. I mean, just dreadful fear. David cries out to God and said, "Lord, I need you to preserve me from the dreadful fear of my enemies. Lord, you got to take over my mind and you got to take over my heart." That's what he's crying out for. Let me ask you something. Is that a regular prayer request that we have? Most times we get a long list of people's names, right? That's fine. I'm not criticizing that at all. But on our prayer list, do we have on there the prayer request, "Lord, preserve me from the fear of my enemies"? I don't think that appears very often, and that's where I was convicted. That was not a regular prayer request for me. "Lord, preserve me from the fear of my enemies." How many of you think that's an important prayer request? Especially in the times in which we live and the deception of the hour and the treachery of the hour. We need to ask God, "Lord, I need your preservation in the midst of the fear that can grip our souls and paralyze us and cause us to get shaken from our foundation, which is Jesus Christ." Oh, there's so many. My heart breaks. I see people that I knew in college and stuff, and they're just running after the world now, running after the things of the world. They've left fundamentalism, and they love to talk about that, how they left fundamentalism. I'm not one of those funny people, you know, like that. Well, what are you now? What are you now? Hit and miss, playing, you know, that's not something good. What's happened? Somebody didn't get preserved. Somebody wasn't asking. Somebody was just wanting to fit in the moment. Now let's go on. One more thought here, and then we're going to go to prayer time. Notice what else he says here. "Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity." Don't you love that word, insurrection? All right? An inward group that rises up to destroy. All right? He says, "Hide me." I mentioned the hide and go seek. Where's a good hiding place? Oh, I've got a couple in the house. Okay? I can actually fit my body into some spots that I didn't think I could, you know, just to hide. You know, and but I want to tell you something. It's not very comfortable in some of those positions. All right, squeeze yourself into a cabinet, and I'm going to get him now. Where is that boy? I'm about to die. If he doesn't come along here shortly, I'm going to be permanently in this position for the rest of my life. And then you'll hear him tiptoeing by or whatever, and rah, you know, jump out, you know. Asking God to hide you from all the things that could possibly happen is a good thing. Only God knows how to hide. Heavenly camouflage. That's what I think of. Camouflage shields you from being seen. People that go hunting, all right, they wear camouflage so they can be out there in the environment. You don't stand out here, deer. Come on out, dear. I want to see you. But you're not going to see anything. Because they're going to be heading to another field. So you sit out there quietly. Brother Chris has told me about some of his adventures. All right? and got his camo gear on out there. And you've seen all kinds of things out there in the woods while you're waiting, all right? And they, everything but what you wanted to see, right? Yeah. And sometimes there's people walking through there, and you're up there in the tree stand, and there they go walking by, crackling and making stuff. I go, I guess I'm not going to get any deer over here, you know? But you're up there camouflaged, and the animals can't see you. And you sprayed yourself with this awful smelling stuff so you fit into the environment, right? Do you know God can do that for you and protect you from the insurrection of the world, wherever it comes from? Even if it's on the inside, God can hide us from that. God can shield us from that. He can hide us in plain sight. That story of that gentleman that for 3 years wore the same suit everywhere he got. He just blended in with everybody that was there, a white man in a blue suit with a white tie and a white hat. That stands out pretty good, does it not? And he roved the street. He was in the jungles. He was in the streets of the Philippines and Mindanao Island for the most part. And the area around Leyte, undiscovered by the Japanese. They didn't know that he was an agent for the United States government. All right? A ranked official. MacArthur had given him orders, gave him a command. And here he was, and all he did was walk around taking notes, mental notes. Never had any papers on him. So if he got caught, they didn't know. He memorized it all, and then he would regurgitate it over the radio. He was hidden in plain sight. I want you to know something, folks. God can use us longer. Now listen to me. He can use us longer in the days ahead if we let Him hide us. Let that sink in for just a moment. I can be used longer for God if I let Him hide me. If I go out myself and try to hide myself, I'm going to be a mess. But if I let God hide me in the midst of the insurrection, I will be used longer because they won't see what we're doing for God. That thought has encouraged me. Has encouraged me. Oh Lord, hide me. Hide me in You so I can be further used for Your glory. I don't know how much time I have. I don't know how much time you have. Things can happen quickly, can they not? A Russian general crawled into his jet today with 10 other people. And evidently they were shot down by Russian forces. And video shows the plane spinning in the air. And then in the last few thousand feet, goes nosedive into the ground and explodes and kills every one of them on board. He got up this morning the same as you and I did. But he's in eternity right now. How quickly things can change. I don't think he had any idea that he would be shot down on a short plane trip from Moscow to St. Petersburg in his own jet. Things can happen. Therefore, we want to serve God as long as we can. And that means we need to be hidden by Him. I need to be hidden in the rock that is higher than I. Father in heaven, I pray that You'd use this word to encourage our hearts. Lord, we want to be used of Thee, and we want to be used as long as possible. Help us not to be afraid of the enemy. Help us to be preserved in that regard. But then also, Father, hide us from the insurrection, the enemies that are within and without. Help us to realize that if You hide us, we'll be able to serve longer and be used of Thee. Father, I pray that You would bless our time of prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.